Thank you, Dan, and good evening to everyone. Just come back from the booth. We had quite a few people around this afternoon, a few engagements and speaking. A few people asked us to pray for their children to go to Camp Emmanuel. Of course, it's still one of the big topics that most people know about. Been there, done that, or know someone who has gone there. So it's a great ministry, and we praise the Lord for it. I'll ask you to turn with me, please, this evening to James chapter 5. I'm going to again continue on speaking about prayer. Prayer, the Word of God is full of examples and prayer life. And you know what? That's one area I know I lack in, and maybe you do too. We're going to look tonight at two men of God who had a prayer life. And you know what? The power of prayer and its effect. Did you ever think about that? The power of prayer and effect. And its effect. And sometimes we pray, and sometimes, did you ever give thanks for your food, and then all of a sudden say, did I give thanks? We have, haven't we? So a lot of times, when we're even praying, we're not even known, or you're very, very hungry to say, thank you, Lord, for this food, amen. Wonder what the poor Lord thinks about that. Wow. Anyway, James chapter 5, and reading in at verse 16, there's a whole section there, verse 13 down to verse 18 on prayer. We're going to, and verse 16b, the latter part, is a statement that we use so often. It says this, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman avails much. And we're just going to stop there for a moment. What in the world does it mean for a righteous man or a righteous woman? First of all, what's the word fervent mean? Look it up yourself sometime, but what it does mean is meaning marked by great intensity of feeling, or zealous, passionate, or serious. Are we serious when we pray? Are we earnest? Is there a feeling of passion? And we say, Lord, I am serious. We're going to look at one of the men. And what does a righteous man? We've got to be careful there. We must be careful at this point because no one is perfect and God ultimately listens to us because of Christ's righteousness. We are in Christ and we have his righteousness. But, however, our holy living does matter in prayer as James asserts. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman. You say, well, what do you mean by that? Psalm 66, 18. If you want to turn there, you don't have to. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. That's amazing, isn't it? So there's a balance in our prayer. Yes, we are already righteous in God's sight, but you know what? There's things that can affect our prayers. We know we can quench the Spirit of God and so on, and by leading, the Spirit of God should be leading us in our prayer life. What about another one? Here's one in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Dwelling together, this is husbands and wives, dwelling together in harmony with your wife, that your prayers be not what? Hindered. I mean, sometimes I never think about that. Maybe if you get up some morning and you're a little snappy with your wife, or vice versa. Do we have those things before we go to God in prayer, especially about something that's serious or something that we really need to get into the face of the Lord and say, Lord, please help me here, or I'm praying for this person, or whatever, okay? And here's another one, 1 Timothy 2:8. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. We know what it says in Romans about doubting, right? Sin. Do we ask? It also says we should ask in faith. When we pray for something, do we really believe that God will answer our prayer? Sometimes they say, you know what? I'm going to pray because somebody asked me. Or maybe somebody asked me to pray diligently. Do you know what? There's only one city in Psalm 122:6 that we're asked to pray for. Pray for the peace of what city? Jerusalem. Why is Jerusalem so important? Because it's the city of God. And when you and I come back with the Lord in Revelation chapter 19, what's the first city we're going to see? Jerusalem, city of God. Even as wicked as it is today. It says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And that's quite amazing. That's something I'm going to start praying for. And you say, well, why would we pray for peace? There's no peace right now. But the sooner there is peace, the sooner we're going to be in heaven. And we know who's going to be ruling in Jerusalem when the Lord comes back. The Prince of who? Peace. That is his tremendous. So let's go to the last part of those there, verse 17 and 18. It says this, Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. In other words, he was just as same way as you and I. But yet it says he was a man of God. But yet he had passions, and we can see that in his life. He was a man of prayer, a tremendous prayer, a powerful prayer, and so on. And he had tremendous effects. But we know what happens after he had that great victory on Mount Carmel. Remember when then he was always listening to the word of the Lord from the Lord's mouth, and all of a sudden he heard the words from a woman's mouth called Jezebel. And what happened to Elijah, this great man of God? Hightailed and sat down and started sucking under a tree, didn't he? Just like a lot of us are. So we say to ourselves, okay, yeah, Elijah was, and he prayed, and you can read chapter 17. We're going to, you can go there, chapter 17. This is, I'm going to finish that verse first. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and prayed earnestly. Same thing as fervent, almost, that it might not rain, and it rained not on earth for the space of 3 years and 6 months. Remember we just said the power of prayer and its effect? And it goes on to say this, and then here's another prayer three years later, and he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Tremendous, powerful prayer. Turn to 1 Kings chapter 17, and this is a prayer that we first read about, and it doesn't mention him as a prayer, but it does in James to tell us that. 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse 1. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And that was a prayer. And he said, we don't want prayer for 3.5 years. And you know what? You'd say, well, why would God listen to him and answer his prayer? Was there a reason? Yes, it was. God wants to get people's attention, and of course, Israel get their attention, right? And God answered his prayer. Of course, like we need to have our prayers need to make sense too. We don't just say, Lord, I would love a Cadillac in my yard tomorrow. That doesn't make sense, does it? And God is not likely going to answer your prayer. Goes on to, okay, so that's the first prayer. Let's go to that over to 1 Kings chapter 18. This is after 3 years, chapter 18, verse 1, it says, and it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah the third year, go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. And then I want you to go down to chapter 18 and verse 42. This is after the great victory over at the Mount Carmel. And so on. And here's what in verse 41 it says this. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up and eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth, and he put his face between his knees. Now let me tell you, ask you that, is that a fervent prayer? Why did you say, oh, well, that was kind of weird, put his face between his knees? What was he? He was absolutely serious, wasn't he? Is that what fervent means? It says back in James, it says Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly. That's what earnestly means. What do you mean when he say, well, he put his face, what difference was that? It was put his face between his knees. He means that he had absolutely no distractions. You know what it says in Matthew? The Lord says we should go to the closet, as it were, so that we have no distractions. A personal place to pray when we want to get down to business with God. Sometimes we pray quite loosely. I do. I don't know about you. But we need to get down to business. We have a son that's not living for the Lord. We should get earnest about that, shouldn't we? And other things going on. It says this, again, in that verse, he cast himself down upon the earth, and he put his face between his knees, and he said to his servant, go up now, look towards the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. That is, a servant said that. And he said, go up again 7 times. Why seven times? Well, we know what seven means, doesn't it? It means complete or perfection. And it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, that is, the servant said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, go up and say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heavens was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain, and Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. So what can we say about Elijah's prayer? What can we say about Elijah's prayer? Five things about Elijah's prayer. First of all, it was a powerful prayer. Number two, it was a precise prayer. What was he praying for? First of all, it wouldn't rain for 3.5 years. And then he prayed that it would rain. And he sent his servant up seven times. It was a persistent prayer, we see in the last prayer, because it was hit seven times. If that servant had went up and six times, he said, I'm not going up anymore. Wonder when the prayer had been answered. He went up seven times because Elijah asked him. So it was a powerful prayer. It was a precise prayer. It was a persistent prayer. It was a passionate prayer. And it was a profitable prayer. Remember the power of prayer and its effect. And God answered his prayer. If you go back to the chapter before, you remember the lady with the son was sick, and he laid upon him and prayed, and he healed him too. Tremendously powerful prayer. But then we see it in chapter 19. Again, as I already mentioned, Jezebel, with her voice, scared the living daylights out of him. And he ran like a scared dog. And the Lord had to get a hold of him, didn't he? So that's meaning he was like us in a passion, like us. Sometimes we look at these men in the Bible and we say, well, that's Paul the Apostle, or that's Elijah. I'll never be them. It says Elijah was just like you and I, except he had tremendous faith in his God. He knew God in a very personal way. And how about you and I? Remember, we talk about John the disciple. And where was he always when he sat down with the other disciples? Where was he at? Always leaning upon the breast of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord says, if you want to draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. But we have to actually do it. We can talk it all we want and say it, and we can quote it from the Word of God, but if we don't do it actually personally ourselves, it won't happen. God's not going to beat us over the head. Go to one more person, and that is Daniel. And I'd ask you to turn to Daniel chapter 6. So we saw five things. It was a powerful prayer, a precise prayer, a persistent prayer. It was passionate prayer, and it was a profitable prayer. That was for Elijah. Daniel chapter 6. Our brother Tim spoke about the Lord Jesus last week, of course, and that is a perfect prayer life, isn't it? You see the Lord Jesus in Luke's gospel alone seven times going apart and praying. He said, why would the Lord have to go and pray? Why? Because he made it very a perfect example for you and I. He was God, yet he prayed. And there's a verse in Matthew, it says 21, verse 13, and it says, it is written, my house shall be a house of what? Prayer. Wow. Prayer is extremely important. And you know what? I'm just starting to learn that a little bit. Prayer. Prayer life. And ladies, if you have a prayer, and men, we get together tomorrow, some of us, and so on, but prayer is extremely important. Here's another man that was a man of prayer too. Daniel in chapter 6. Of course, he was a tremendous man. Dare to be a Daniel, right? Look at the four kings he worked with. These were heathen kings. I just want to read you a few verses in chapter 6. It pleased Darius, as one of the evil kings, to set over the kingdom and 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, he had three presidents, of whom Daniel was first. Number one, he was a Hebrew kid. That the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred preferred above all the rest. Why? Because of who he was, his tremendous testimony. Even this wicked king could see in this man there was something way ahead of anyone else. He was preferred. He was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and the princes, all those who were tossed aside, were sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could not find no occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of God. And of course, we know that there was a plan set, an evil plan. And then we see the kneeling man. We go down to verse 10. Now, there was a document, a decree written that whoever didn't bow down to the king would be thrown into the den of lions. Pretty serious stuff. How would you like to be eaten by a lion? I wouldn't. Now, when Daniel knew, verse 10, that the writing was signed, listen to this one verse, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber towards Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before the God, before his God, as he did aforetime. What can we see in that one verse? What did this man do? What did he do? First of all, his prayer was fervent. He was serious. He was serious business, wasn't it? His prayer was frequent. How many times did he pray a day? Three times. That also, it says three times a day, not just this one day, three times a day. That is quite frequent. And I ask myself, do I pray to God? I mean, we give thanks. I'm not counting giving thanks for your food three times a day or more. But do you do it every day? It says he kneeled down, he prayed three times a day. He turned his windows towards Jerusalem. You say, what in the world has that got to do with anything? Where was the temple at in Jerusalem? Where did the Lord meet with the people in temple? He turned towards, what's that mean? It says looking unto Jesus for you and I. Focused. His prayer was focused. We should be focused on Christ, on his word, on his promises. That's where our prayer should be. So his prayer was frequent. It was fervent. It was focused. And what about it says, and he got on his knees, kneeling on upon his knees. You say, well, every time I pray, do I have to get on my knees? No. All it is doing is showing, giving us a point that his prayer was fitting. In other words, he was humbled himself before God. He was serious. And he got on his knees so he wouldn't be eaten by lions. And finally, his prayer was faithful. It says, look at the last statement. He prayed three times a day on his knees and so on as he did before time. So his prayer was fervent. It was focused. It was frequent. It was fitting. And it was faithful. And I look at myself. I say, am I acting like that? And did God, remember we talked about the power of prayer and its effect. Look at verse 22. The heavenly band. My God has sent, this is after the king came to him and delivered him. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouth that they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me. And also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Remember we said about regarding iniquity in our heart and so on? And sometimes we have unconfessed sin. And that's what 1 John is. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. We should always have short accounts with the Lord. Lord, if there's something there. Remember Psalm 19. Search me, O God, and know my heart. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And we have sin in our lives. Sometimes sins of omission. We don't think about or we don't want to think about. And then sins of commission. Sins we have committed. So those are things to keep in mind. So he was, his prayer was fervent, was frequent, focused, fitting, and faithful. And here he says, because of innocency, found that there was none. And also before thee, O king, I have done no hurt. Then was the king exceeding glad for him and commanded that he should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found in him. Listen to this one. Because He believed in his God. God rewarded him. See, God knows all our character, our conduct, and our conversations. He knows everything about us. And we can come in here to this meeting or other places and look good, smell good, and everything else. But you know what? God knows our hearts. He knows our lives. And you know what? I look at my own life so often. None of us can pretend. And none of us are any better than anyone else. But that's why we need God, don't we? And we need to keep short accounts. And prayer is an extremely important tool that God has given to us. And he wants us to be in contact with him. How do we contact him? Through prayer. How does he speak to us? Through his word. Through other people. Blessing. We leave it there. So his prayer was frequent. It was fervent, focused, fitting, and faithful. May God bless you.